Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Raw Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanflo and Michael Sidgwick, here to review everything that happened on last night's episode of Monday Night Raw. Yeah. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bigger quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, they're joined by Hamlet and Sidgwick to review last night's Raw, the go-home show ahead of Survivor Series War Games.
Just call this Raw Eric, because it was absolutely dire, and I'm more of a World Cup fan now. Am I right, guys?
Hey! What's the score? What's the score? We are recording this as the stunning Argentina versus Saudi Arabia game is in progress, and the second favourites are actually bloody winning. Losing.
2-1 still Saudi Arabia as this goes. This will be a nice sort of time capsule. I was enjoying this game. I'll keep us updated on any developments.
Yeah. Any live breaking news? Yeah, it was terrible. This Raw was absolutely... I'm so hyped for the Survivor Series, so much so that this Raw couldn't damage it. But as I'm watching it, it felt like that was what it was trying to do. Like, you know that thing that you're quite looking forward to because in your imagination it's probably better than what Triple H can manifest on a Saturday night. This is what he does now. So much of this Raw was so boring, so criminally dull, right? Considering that he's plotting these various matches for a pay-per-view on Saturday for the fact that there's clearly things in place for WrestleMania. Like, I'll sit here and take my lumps, take my shots, like I'm in Aces and Eights. Took my licks like I'm in Aces and Eights for defending that Triple H has got a plan, clearly. How's Raw this crap? How's it this dull? I really enjoyed SmackDown. How's Raw this useless?
I was going to say, I've been hoping and wishing that Raw would be more like SmackDown. And this was, but it was like when the SmackDowns that you should just not be bothered with because they were like, oh yeah, Raw's good and SmackDown's just there. So
the
who
era
cares?
That, like the era that sort of like they'll every now and then somebody will post a match and it'll be from, say, 2012 and it'll be an Usos tag. And of course it was objectively fine. You saw on SmackDown 2012 hit different? No, it didn't. They hit the literal exact same as what they'd hit on Raw because SmackDown was a recap show.
Yeah.
If you happened to miss a match on Raw, they'd run it back. 5 years of the blue brand that you can't ever remember a thing from because you only watch Raw because, like, CM Punk and John Cena weren't going anywhere near it.
Yeah. Oh, my God, this Raw. So utterly boring and tepid.
Just dull, wasn't it?
So dull, tepid. Everything went either overlong or the amount of redundant brawls. Like, this man doesn't have an idea for a pro wrestling angle in his body. He just doesn't. The one really great angle was the Sami Zayn t-shirt, and that's probably Paul Heyman, because he's balls deep in Roman Reigns' creative and has been since 2020. I refuse to give Triple H credit for that, because the amount of graduating tension, emotion, the twist has... Triple H in his life as a booker ever booked anything as good as that.
Triple H.
He can't book angles. The man cannot book angles. And I'm sick of watching a TV show where the wrestling isn't as good as it is elsewhere. So that's out off the table. The atmosphere isn't as good as it is elsewhere. Mm. So that's off the table. The promos are still mostly horrifically scripted. So you're not going to get those promos anywhere. You cannot book an angle an angle to save his life. So I ask you, what am I actually watching this for, other than some talent that I really, really like,
yeah,
irrespective of where they work? What is the USP of this show? I don't understand what it is. What has it got that other things don't? What identity does it even have? What am I watching here? 3 hours of utter redundant, repetitive crap.
Triple H staring down at a good angle and going, swear to God, I had nothing to do with it. And Jimmy Hart pointing back at him, you swear to God all you want, but God's going to strike you down. What goes around comes around, remember that. Swear to God, I had nothing to do with it. But it's just a picture of the bloodline.
Let's start the beginning of this show then, because Kevin Owens came out to a great reaction and talked about War Games. Of course, it is this weekend. Don't forget to join myself and Hamlet for our Survivor Series live stream on Saturday night.
The Dominic Mysterio term was good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rule proven exception.
Dominic Mysterio
Clash of the Castle was ace.
Dominic Mysterio, I will say, was good on this show.
Yeah.
As he always is, actually, to be honest.
Excellent.
So he
actually
talks about joining the babyface team for War Games. He said he did that because of someone on the Bloodlines team, but not Sami Zayn, who he still considers a brother. So you're telling me there's a chance. It's about Roman Reigns. 2 years since they fought, blah, blah, blah. He wants to remind Reigns who the hell he is. He said he would have ended it, his big, you know, record-breaking title reign, before it even began, if it hadn't been for the Bloodline. He's going after all of them now, because there's going to be nothing in the way of me eventually taking that title. And he said, I was on SmackDown because I got invited very nicely. And it was, of course, the one time of the year that people can show up on other brands, so that's kind of allowed. and he said, I've returned the favour, and the Brawling Brutes and Drew McIntyre come through the crowd. Sheamus hypes War Games, puts over Owens. McIntyre says, I'm ready to rip the Bloodline apart. And then out come the real coolest stable on Monday Night Raw, the Judgment Day.
I'm in the f***ing Judgment Day.
Yeah. No more swearing this week, he said. Yesterday he said that to me.
You teed us up?
I know, yeah. It's Judgment
Day. Too exciting.
Well, because it's so close to the timestamp. I'm in the f***ing Judgment Day.
I'm just going to put it on a button.
Don't blame us. Blame Alter Bridge for putting swearing in their lyrics.
But I like
what was it you
don't
saying?
Put it on a button. I like it too much.
What was it you were saying? It's going to ruin your...
Isid was on about, was it the Carry On?
Carry On My Way. So my Spotify Wrapped is just, it's murdered now. I would have been really interested to have seen what was going to be the top song of the year, as we always are, but I know it now, so the surprise element's not there.
Mine too, The Other Side by Oliver. Absolute
fed-pilled Vincel
walking
Mark
through the streets of Gateshead thinking, should I buy a purple t-shirt?
Do you know what mine might be this year?
What?
And you're not going to like this either. The Weekend Sacrifice. It's because of WrestleMania.
You had that on in your house once, just bopping around getting ready for the day. And
it was a great North Run.
It was like, it's just Wilborn's morning. Just gets up, Adam Wilborn's himself, and comes into work.
And to be fair, the other one that really speaks to me is, don't know about you, but I feel good. Pitbull is like,
we'll get a disco. It's another day being me. Honestly,
this is Wilborn. Shush. Come on.
Woke up at 5 to 1 on Saturday night, Sunday morning. Watched 4 hours of the pay-per-view, did the pre-show after the fact, couldn't get back to sleep, realised I have to go into work to write down the star ratings article, which is, of course, still available on whatculture.com/WWE. And it takes me about 35 to 40 minutes to get into work, and obviously the same amount of time back. Carry On My Wayward Son.
On a loop. I had a Jane day with that when Orange Cassidy had Jane. I lost the commute to Jane.
Bad news.
2-2.
Yellow card for Saudi Arabia.
Hey! We don't want them to win. Shall we clarify
it's tricky
that?
This, isn't it?
But it's not.
It's just a banter result, isn't it?
It's not the. It's a bit. It's not.
It's like a good match happening at Crown Jewel. You're like,
It was. I didn't know who I wanted to lose more again with the USA versus Wales.
But
yesterday.
Then the national team is different to. Is this? I don't know.
I don't even know. I don't know I what don't the politics of the national
who
football
does hit different. Bukayo Saka. So there you go. Anyway, moving on.
We just want Argentina to lose because upsets are funny.
Yeah. Always happens in a World Cup, doesn't it?
I don't know what to bloody think anymore.
Yeah.
Shut up. That's what Rhea Ripley said to Drew McIntyre. So you get back into it. She said, the only thing people are going to be talking about after Saturday is how many women got destroyed by me in the War Games match. And I was like, oh, man. Damian Priest said, yeah, we're going to kick all your heads in. And then Dominic Mysterio did his thing. It's always so good. He's like, bye Rhea Ripley, bye Damian Priest to a certain extent. And then Dom's like, yeah, and I kick some ass too. And you're like, come on. I thought of you on many occasions during the show, mainly because of like, this match is going a little bit long. But I especially liked it when Dominic Mysterio said, yeah, we're going to beat your ass and send you back to SmackDown so you can say hi to my deadbeat dad, Rey Mysterio, on SmackDown. Like, and you don't have to say his name.
I'm going to clip that and I'm going to invite the wave of abuse that I'll get on Twitter because it's pathetic. It's pathetic. I've said this so many times under Vince, now under Triple H, the same applies. On a fundamental level, the dialogue, the storytelling, like the emotion it elicits, in terms of pure writing and the way a show is written, WWE television is the worst show on any network, and it only exists because it's wrestling, but they try and gussy it up by pretending it's not sports entertainment. It's the worst show on telly. It is the worst show on television. Can you imagine any other show with that level of exposition? It is farcical.
It's ridiculous.
It's funnier still. It's like his character, his surname, is Dominic Mysterio.
I know.
It's not like it's Dominic Smith. Oh, he's from the Smith wrestling family. Which Smith is that? Mysterio. Like that.
Anyway, Finn Balor said he was going to battle.
Like when Elizabeth was Mrs. Macho. Mr. and Mrs. Macho.
He's going to batter AJ Styles, and he said everyone in the ring is going to get smashed by the Bloodline on Saturday Survivor Series. Sheamus said, oh, well, despite the fact that you and I only live, 10 miles apart in Ireland, I consider you to be a plastic paddy. Balor was offended by this. And they, got into it and said, let's have a bloody bare-knuckle fight then. And the six-man got settled, basically, this big brawl to open the show.
I thought this was good. I really like the Judgment Day to the point where it has destroyed my Spotify Wrapped. I know that it's not okay to just be fine with completely spontaneous action opening the show because it's the same argument that Sujik has about what was going to main event, what was going to open. Well, we know nothing because yesterday we had one match to preview for a 3-hour wrestling show. They had nothing on the docket. So thank goodness that Kevin Owens invited four people to a card and then four more people came out on the stage and that they made a match. Thank God. But I really enjoy Finn Balor. Is like just performing this role with such confidence that the stuff that he was doing with Sheamus was tremendous. I was like, I want to watch Sheamus in so many matches at the moment, and there's another singles one I want. Like, Sheamus is just
banger after banger.
He's living the life that Drew McIntyre pretends he does, because Sheamus I actually buy as this intense, hard guy that could maybe stop Roman Reigns. Never bought it with Drew. Drew is not a top guy. He could be Sheamus's friend. He couldn't be Sheamus. He could be Sheamus's buddy. So I like how everybody's cast here, and as a result, I was far more tolerant and patient of the impromptu nonsense booking.
And the fact we got Kevin Owens on commentary, which is always entertaining, talking about he'd never turn on his own dad like Dominic did.
It was like, because I think he caught himself, didn't he? It's like, oh, it's absolutely terrible to turn your family. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't turn to my brother, but I wouldn't turn to my father. That's gone, and it's nice.
That's the line.
There's a nice bit of Sammy stuff there, isn't there?
As expected, Dominic Mysterio was the real star of this match. Basically, Judgment Day dominated early on, and then Dom was like, let me in. Now they're on the ground, I'll stomp on them a little bit, basically. There was a bit, I can't remember exactly when it happened, where he ran out at ringside and then hid behind Mammy when Ridge the Fridge was trying to take his head off. And he begged off when Sheamus got in there later on as well. He actually tried to run out of the arena, effectively, but the OC made their entrance and he got his ass kicked back down to the ring. Priest has to come in and save Dom. Everyone hits some moves. Dom's like, oh, I can win this. And tries to schoolboy Sheamus. Sheamus kicks out, knees him, and then goes, right, okay. Takes him out to the apron, does the, well, it's meant to be 10 beats of the Bodhran, I think it's called. But he was like, no. Special one for you, Dom. 20 times he does it, and then just bro kicks him and pins him. I thought it was great, that.
This was good. In that, on a strict level, it shouldn't be as cathartic as it is to watch a young man get his chest caved in, but he knows what he's there for, he knows what he's good at, i.e. nothing, so let's make him think he's good at things when in fact he's hopeless and useless. But he actually has one use now, and it's getting his ass kicked. It's always fun, always brings down the house. This is probably the loudest this crowd got all night, to be perfectly honest. And they build towards it great with his stupid dickhead chicken behaviour. But ultimately, Triple H kind of took an angle to save his life. I understand the purpose here. You're not going to get Roman Reigns to work on a Monday night that he's not contractually obligated to do. So you have to work around your top double champion. It continues to become a bit of a farce on this show. And you basically got something you'd really like to see at a house show or a live event. Mm-hmm. Not something that really, really put you on the hook for Survivor Series. But I suppose they did that on SmackDown. So
yeah, I'm all for, obviously, not that you need to, but establishing this team as a team that can win. Not just fight, but that can fight and win ahead of this match where they've got to fight and win in War Games. A little bit of me, I wasn't asking for protection. I was a bit, I don't really want the Judgment Day to lose.
Sure you don't need protection anymore, pal?
I goddamn hope not, although I'm not going through it again. I didn't want the Judgment Day to lose. That's like, they showed me a match here.
That's only Dominic.
And that's true. I wonder during this. The way that Dominic is getting his ass kicked, are they going to subvert your expectations a bit before you get to the... It's WrestleMania, isn't it? Ray and Dominic's going to be WrestleMania. Before you get to that point, is Ray going to like ask his babyface friends to stop beating up his son? I think they might get to that first before it's like, right, now we have to fight. Is Ray going to be watching from a distance? I need to go on SmackDown and keep away from him. Man, I'm watching Raw. He's getting his ass kicked out like, Sheamus, please go easy on him. I'm afraid I can't do that, Ray. we really hate him. And like that become the next like push and pull between them before we get to the match. Because I think you could, the way he's getting his ass kicked at the moment. And we got that win a couple of weeks ago against AJ, but this is clearly the formula. I wonder if that's going to be the first or the next beat before the match. It's a great story.
It is great.
He's got to fight his dad at WrestleMania.
If he electric chairs his dad, just because of spotting the match. As we've said all along, Judgment Day attack after the match, and then all the babyface team come in, blah, 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 and it ends up with Owens hitting Finn Balor with a stunner, and they all stand there to send us to the premium live event. Kathy Kelly chats to Johnny Gargano, poor bloke. He said he wanted a match with The Miz tonight. No bells or whistles, because he's got the worst gimmick. He said, I'm not going to get involved in the Loomis match, and Loomis isn't going to get involved tonight. And Gargano comes out, and they've slightly changed.
Ooh.
Rebel Heart, haven't they?
It's going to piss some people off, I think. People are really mad.
This Rebel Heart, please.
People are really married to that theme.
Is it for royalty stuff, or is it?
Is it right, is it a bit of a CFO's?
It's not completely changed, but it's...
a bit of a CFO's political situation, because a lot of them themes got phased out, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like a real golden era, like the second coming of Jim Johnson, basically. Yeah.
I don't care, but maybe.
It'll feel like the latest... Like, things have not gone well for Gargano.
At all. Signed for the wrong company.
It's like, it's not gone anywhere. Like, in the way, Triple H, there's this idea that obviously he will look after all of his NXT kids. He's not looking after Johnny Gargano at all. And this will probably scan as the latest sign that he's being, like, kicked out of his way.
Is it The Simpsons where
I just think Triple H is completely cooked as a booker and thinks this is good more than he doesn't care about.
He's got
them.
Like four baby faces that he's kicking the ass of at the moment. This idea that you're supposed to cling on for when they turn it around. That's happening. Well, three baby faces and Austin Theory.
Yeah. Because we were talking about this on the news, me and Hamlet this morning. Is it The Simpsons where they're like, we're going to break you down completely mentally, then we're going to build you back up again, then we're going to break you down, then we'll have lunch, then we'll put you back together, and hopefully that'll be the end of the day. It feels like that's what he's doing with everyone he likes. Like, Austin Theory, all right, to an argument, he had a bit of stuff on him being Vince's boy. And you go like, oh, okay, all right, we've got to get rid of the briefcase. All right, we'll do that. But like you say, Gargano, you were like, we were there going, oh, cool, right, well, Gargano just, boom, straight in. Just have banger after banger after banger.
After a banger.
And then, you know, give him, I don't know, a US title if you want to, or whatever it may be. And he's just, I don't know what he's playing out with him and Ali stuff, which we'll get to in due course.
I swear that. He's rubbish, man.
So, yeah, and he was meant to face The Miz, but The Miz comes out, he's wearing a suit, and he says, oh, I injured my hand hitting a cactus for TikTok. And I did like his humble brag. That's right, guys, I'm rich. My own cacti. I was like... he said, I can't wrestle, but I have the WWF fans deserve a replacement. I think you know the guy is Omos. It's just a bit of a popper, to be fair.
He's no Satnam Singh, is he? Like, when your head's been turned by a more fun big guy, there's not really any way back. It happened between Braun and Omos. It's happened with Omos and Satnam Singh.
Yeah.
There are levels.
Like, for a start, Satnam Singh can catch people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Surely the base requirement for the old rule.
Do you know what I've just thought about? Like,
what's the score?
Oh, still 2-1, 10 minutes to go.
Jesus.
I've only just considered.
Or free kick, though. I'm not watching, I'm just seeing the text updates.
Jeff Jarrett doing the red skinny jeans line, only for Saturn Sink wear a lilac suit.
Yeah, no.
He's walking around in lilac trousers.
Saturn Sink's the best.
Yeah.
So Miz goes on commentary here and still tries to run interference on Gargano. His hand's suddenly better, of course. Yeah. But Gargano dodges a charge by Omos, who clatters into the ring post, hits a few thrust kicks. It looks like he might just get away with this and get the victory over this giant. But as Gargano goes up top, he's a bit distracted by Miz, and Omos has recovered, and he basically just jumps straight into an Omos chokeslam. 1, 2, 3.
Right, first of all, Jesus Christ. It's the killing this character. Even if they think that it's doing two things at once. You can sympathize with Gargano, go, oh, damn and blast, he didn't get this match with The Miz. And, oh, Omos can get gently reheated at the same time. It's still an absolute disaster. An absolute disaster of what this guy can actually do.
Yeah.
Or used to be able to do once upon a time. You had that match with Gable, and I think that's it. I think he had one with Theory where I was like, oh, that's a bit short. Usually Triple H books these to go 2 friggin' hours. Terrible booking. He's a complete geek. He's not funny. He's not over. He's now a loser. And his career could not be going any worse at this moment in time. Gives me no pleasure. Like 2018, Johnny Gargano, before it all got a bit histrionic in NXT. It was awesome. Just do that. It's not the hardest thing in the world. Right. I watched Cody Rhodes at Hell in a Cell. Like internally bleeding to quite a bad extent, right? And he was cleared by doctors. Why was The Miz medically disqualified from this match with what was obviously a fake injury? Or just, if in fact he'd really punctured a tiny little hole in his hand from a cacti, that's not enough to rule him out of in-ring competition, is it not? Like, we are back, right? I used to call this the Winnitz era of WWE, where it was so rubbish and so literally crap that something awful would happen, whether it's like a terrible storyline or a terrible portrayal of a character or like an absolutely rotten finish that you would just completely forget. Oh, like 3 champions got booked on this show. Oh, that was like a 2014 complaint. Mm. People used to complain about that, but now there's so much other rubbish and it's got so much worse that all these other things are the winnets that they still stink, but they're just easier to ignore. They're encrusted
into the hairs of this.
Into the hairs of this.
The arsehole is this company.
That, encrusted into the... has, yes, that's a very good way of putting it. We are now reaching those levels under Pepe H's WWE because we've got a score update.
Pessy's finished. He missed the free kick.
All right, okay. We are now at that level with Pepe H's WWE because amid the complete geekening of Johnny Gargano, which is getting worse and worse every single week, at least he wasn't as brutally unfunny as he is usually because he didn't really have much material to try and do the stand-up bit. Like, why is The Miz not wrestling a scheduled match? Because he's got, like, you know, in football. Like, wrestling, they make them work through anything historically.
Yeah.
But if you think about it from the perspective of football, you'd think, I'll wear a bandage. It's fine. You're not really... You can still do it, obviously. Absolutely pathetic. But no one on earth, other than me being pedantic, is going to point that out. Because it's a winner now. It's a winner. There are just significantly worse things about this. Papa H is an absolute joke.
It's time to play the game!
The asshole knocked his mic stand over.
That's why he doesn't get to press the buttons.
That's why I can't reach the buttons. New game's just dropped.
Oh.
What's the bit that Vince is fucking doing? It's this.
Oh, maybe.
Like, little guy loses to giant 100 times out of 100 by Vince McMahon, even if you're the best wrestler in the world. You just can't beat the guy because he's big.
I love this conspiracy theory.
He's in. He's back. We've spotted this for weeks. This is not a new thing, is it? There was a Raw specifically.
Right? You know, the investigation has concluded.
Yeah.
This is totally conspiratorial. We have no insider information about this particular line of inquiry.
It's great speculating on like things when like investigations have concluded. It's the theme of this summer, isn't
it?
Like, hey, what do you think about these wrestlers' lives? Because investigations have actually happened.
Do you want another bit of a conspiracy?
Yeah.
Do you see what Ronda Rousey said in the podcast?
Yeah.
Vince doesn't want me to be a Brock Lesnar type. Rewind. Who? Paul? Bruce? Nick? Nah. Maybe. Maybe it was just force of habit. Like, you know. Mm. he's just so used to being booked by Vince that you just say, oh, Vince, oh, Paul, obviously. I'm not getting booked by Vince.
My wife at the time.
I was just going to say, the five words that kicked off 2022's insanity was my wife at the time. What? do it again?
But as we called
it's
on...
Paul's in charge, and I've got robust evidence for you later on.
Ooh. As we called on the preview, it will be a triple threat match for, at Survivor Series for the United States Championship. Seth Rollins defending against Austin Theory and Bobby Lashley. We had a video package recapping what's gone on in recent weeks. And then it was time for an interview with Seth Rollins. Note to self, must get that button fixed.
Yeah, you need the new theme tune for a start.
So he's live via satellite. He says he's feeling better than ever. And he says...
I was watching the Shield reunion thing on WWE.com, and it's when they came back in 2017, and they all like storm out set music, and I was waiting for them.
He said, actually, I'm the one who asked for the triple threat match, actually. Because I know how to outsmart Theory and Lashley. It's like, I don't blame Theory for trying to cash in. I've got a pretty good history with the Money in the Bank briefcase. I actually thought it was a really good idea, but you're an idiot for what you did last week, attacking me, Austin Theory. And he said, why don't you call Cody Rhodes and ask how his rehab's going after he faced me?
Ooh.
Is this your evidence that Triple H is back? Because this stupid twat's going to bring back Cody as a heel.
And the stupid twat doesn't know who his babyface and heels even are.
Just turn Seth. It's like, well, Cody, sorry, pal. I'd love to keep his babyface.
That is not Exhibit A. It could be Exhibit B, but it's not Exhibit A.
He says,
a bit of a hook for the listeners there.
Got you a great throne for your WrestleMania entrance, Cody. Smash that one.
Yeah,
see who signed your check, sir.
Says we're not in war games, but we are going to be in a war because none of us like each other. But I'm one of one, and after Survivor Series, I'll still have the United States Championship.
And we've got a designated jobber in the the match.
We cut backstage, and Theory's watching, and he cuts this serious promo saying, "Look, I'm not the guy you knew before. Just watch what I'm going to do to Mustafa Ali tonight. Poor Mustafa Ali."
it's funny. Honestly, I didn't think Triple H had a funny bone in his body, but this is absolutely grade A material.
I'm saying
it's A1.
You know, there's no December pay-per-view currently. The December pay-per-view is going to be called Mustafa Ali, because just like when TLC would happen, they randomly throw ladders at people. Yeah. So we'll throw him at you. Also, he's the gimmick for the pay-per-view, is he? He's the designated weapon.
It was followed by Theory versus Ali. Poor Ali, like, he's got his ribs strapped up. He's just had his ribs strapped up in a match on Friday, that doctors were like, I really don't think you should wrestle this, Ali.
And he's
did you see the match? Well, did you see the fact that he has to wrestle through this on the same show that the implication was that WWE's medical staff disqualified The Miz from in-ring competition for a significantly easier injury to wrestle through.
Tape it up, Ali.
His company is win it.
See the match as well.
What is there you know what? Where are my manners, okay? I know what we like to do. Sorry, Wilbur.
Sorry, it's 5 minutes to go just to keep updated.
In the zone. And
not
in the,
not
zone.
In the podcast, in the football.
Bloody, I wish. Not talking about Raw for that bloody long, right? I know that we have this really cool sort of community, and they start to like talk about our bollocks back to us.
Yeah.
And it's become part of their lexicon and vernacular, and it's just the most wonderful, cool thing. But just in case you're not part of that like really intense, cool community on Twitter, and you're just a casual listener, right? Maybe we shouldn't regionalize win it. Mm. What's the American word for it? You know what I think it is? Dingleberry.
Oh, it is. I hate that word. Oh, yeah, it is. Dingleberry. There was a conversation the other day as I'm with another mate about like words that you hate. And one sprung to mind because when Wilborn says it, it's already a bad word.
It is. It says synonym dingleberry.
Dingleberries.
You know when Wilborn says panties. Just makes me absolutely cringe when he's reading it as a comment or something.
I'll wait till the comment section today. Bloody hell.
What's my least favourite word? You know what? This is so bizarre. I've got this incredible aversion, right, to writing the words has been, he has been doing this.
It just doesn't feel right.
I just think it, I don't know why I hate it so much. So I'll write these incredibly stupid sentences around the fact that that's a really simple way of putting it.
The Michael Cole Wood sends me now. You know, whenever you see it written because it just became part of, like, it became such a normalized way to talk about something that's already happened. Like turning the word would into a past tense of something. Oh, yeah. And he would defeat him at WrestleMania. He did. He did. It's happened. Mm. Stop it. But it was clearly a Vince McMahonism that Michael Cole just drilled into all of
us. And like us, it just penetrates our brains.
Yeah.
I really like switching gears.
Switching
gears.
It's
really useful. Talk about something completely different. You go, switching gears now. I picked that from Cole.
It was, in that, it's like,
it was always like that, wasn't it? Like, oh my, that wrestler almost died in that match. Switching gears now. Doink the Clown's going to be on in a bit. And what a wacky guy.
The Fiend has just been incinerated. And he's also come back to life. Our understanding of the material world has been completely disrupted. Switching gears now to some bullshit involving R-Truth.
Can you do it?
Imagine being in a horror film, right? Imagine a horror film, right? Where some of the characters just sell the fact that they're in a horror film, right? And it would just be the stupidest thing. It's like, you're in a horror. You're in a horror film. You could potentially die. Or something horrible could happen. A doppelganger of yourself could be conjured at a moment's time, okay? All right, no. That's Bray Wyatt. That is Bray Wyatt. Sorry, I swore there. You might want to...
I've got it, don't worry. Yeah. I don't want a top 10 what culture list on Michael Cole's best switching gears.
Yeah.
I'm shotgunning that straight away. So yeah, Ali, he's been pieced back together after his loss on SmackDown in the World Cup.
Sorry. And he's I was trying to remember what... Alexa Bliss sits on Randy Orton's dick. Switching gears, it's Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE title.
And she put up,
the Fiend's on fire now.
When she sat on top of him with her box-like structure.
Oh! I've used it before, actually, but it's an oldie but a goodie. Anyway, back to the match. So, Theory's got this new aggressive side.
The world, of course.
And but then Ali starts fighting back. As Theory's doing his rolling drop kick, he nails him with a super kick, does Ali. Theory, again, utilises Ali's injuries. Always can hit stuff, and then he can't quite do, recover enough quickly enough to get the pinfall or whatever. Ali hits a sunset flip powerbomb and then a 450 splash, but Theory does the bit where, I'm trying to pin you, but he just rolls out of the ring before he can get to a cover. Ali gets knocked off the apron, hits the barricade, and then Theory hits him with the A-Town down for the victory. I thought Austin Theory looked... they look like a different person in here for me.
Right, it's funny you say that, because I think obviously the way they're booking him, then that's been successful for you at very least.
8 minutes of added time.
God, this World Cup sucks. Unlike across every single level.
This added time's been booked by Triple H.
Cleared off the line by Saudi Arabia. Sorry. I'll keep you posted.
I'm trying to invest in the booking. I was very, very patient with it last week, and I wanted to support this idea that, yes, you buried him so, so deep that the only way was up. It's typical WWE. It's like when Vince McMahon would say, Austin, I'm going to send you to the very bottom. You're going to wrestle the Brooklyn Brawler. And then he beats the Brooklyn Brawler. It's like, well, I guess you've earned yourself a title match at the pay-per-view. Well, that was quick. Malibu Stacey's got a new hat. Like, I'm just not feeling... Already, I'm not really feeling it with this Austin Theory thing. Maybe it's a visual thing. Maybe there's more aesthetic changes.
The size of his arms.
Like, great. Like wrestlers with cool bodies, so like awesome. But I feel that it needs to be more that matches with the booking of this guy fixing everything. Because right now it's just, he's as smug as he was 3 weeks ago. He's just effed up horrifically so to lose his briefcase. I'm not seeing enough change in that regard.
I've got nothing to say about Austin Theory. Just bores my tits off.
So it looks like he's gonna attack.
20 more years. 20 more
years.
Yeah,
that's the worst. That's the worst. The threat. The threat.
He looks like he's gonna attack Ali after the match.
57 years old, watching Austin Theory. Like, just like I did with Randy Orton.
And whatever,
20 years.
And like whatever social media it is, where somebody's saying, about time he got his flowers. Should he go in the Hall of Fame as an active competitor?
Austin Theory versus Ali from the November 21 episode of Raw was goated. Kill me. I'd rather die than do this.
So,
my 12th wedding anniversary on Saturday, which means about around today is 12 years ago when The Miz won the WWE title for the first time. And he's coming out here with a like pricked finger off a cactus. Oop, hope I can win this mid-card feud. Getting back into title contention. Just like 12 years ago. Who lives like that? Whose career goes like that?
I know.
No wonder he reads LinkedIn out all the time. Nobody would believe him.
So Lashley appears on the screen because it looks like Theory's going to murder Ali even more and says, wait there, I'm coming for you. After this commercial break. And then he comes back and gets the mic and says, slags off his failed cash-in attempt. Theory says, I'd be US champion if not for you. And then he says, you're a bloody loser as well. You lost to Brock Lesnar. And Theory says, I'm not the same guy as I was before. I'm going to walk out Survivor Series as United States champion. And Lashley says, you ain't going to go walk out of tonight's show. And he attacks Theory, chucks him around ringside. Theory gets a chair and twats Lashley with it, and Lashley just no-sells it brilliantly. So Theory runs to the back. Lashley chases after him. They get in there in gorilla. Poor Ollie's like, oh, bloody hell, I'm not sure if I can... And Theory goes, look, throws Ollie at Lashley. And Lashley suddenly goes, actually, yeah, I'll just kill this guy. grabs Ollie, chucks him out onto the stage again, and puts him in the hurt lock. He got so buried on this year. I feel awful for him.
Friggin' rickety cricket.
Yeah, yeah.
What a bias when he gets the hair plugs in Arrested Development.
Other than the thing you weren't, I'm sure you were actually meant to laugh at this. This, honestly, for me, I was just like, I watched all of this in succession, obviously, and just went, huh? Seth Rollins, was I meant to hate him again? Because his promo was so insufferable.
Yeah.
Did he, what was his Goonies reference? I'm like the Goonies, I'm good enough or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I never say die.
Never say die. Yeah.
So I hated that.
The Cody
just,
line.
Just sideways buried Seth there. I'm good enough. Good enough for you. Yeah, so I was like, he did that and he was like really just muted. He wasn't like, if you're going to turn this visionary, suck my ass, version of Seth Rollins' babyface, people are into the fact that he's a wacky asshole.
That's not that you have done it. It's done.
Yeah, but like at least be like, whoa! And like just cut promos in this really exaggerated style. People like this clown.
Yeah.
People
I feel personally attacked by this.
Well, that's what I'm like with you. I like the clown in my life. People like the other clown in their lives, and it's Seth Rollins. And people go, hey, why is he being like sinister and just like quiet and amazing? And he's up to like antics and like, no, people like the fact that he's a clown.
Yeah.
He's almost heel adjacent all over again. Bobby Lashley's a baby face again. And Austin Theory.
Idea about the dynamic of this.
Yeah, and Austin Theory is like, I'm not the same guy I was last week. Runs away like a bitch, so he is the cowardly. Cowardly heel in over his head and not suited to the role that has been projected onto him by management.
They were doing race to the butt. Like
what's going on? Like, Triple H is washed.
It was like, you're the biggest loser. No, you're the biggest loser, actually. Well, I've got more evidence that you're a big loser. Well, you lost that match. So I say everybody's terrible. That like awful race to the bottom promo style. Who's the least terrible? It's that has never worked.
It's Lashley this week.
I think so, but that does change. Seth is definitely the least terrible because he's lost the least significant matches of late. But he's also a massive babyface that was threatening them with the same injury he caused Cody Rhodes,
yeah.
Who is the like returning babyface champion elect.
Yeah,
really weird.
I'm bad.
That's a good Al.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Then we got Matt Riddle and Elias versus
Skip. Skip all day.
It was an agonizing decision here, but we have to skip this one.
16 minutes for Elias to hit the drift away and Riddle to hit
zero
the
zero development.
Bro. Yeah.
Zero development.
I was like, okay, here we come.
Skip means skip.
Turn. Sorry. It's enough of all this. It's now time for this.
It's short. It's crap. It's wrestling related. The 5-star review. Review.
Nailed it.
Pepper age.
Egg.
Egg. And this week's five-star review is brought to you by Bradley Raytig. If you want your name associated with a five-star review, if you want to suggest something short, crap, and wrestling-related, you can do so in one of two ways. You can either subscribe to us and leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts and just write what you want to say about us there and what you want to suggest, or you can do it on Spotify.
What?
Proof?
Proof, yeah.
Take a screenshot of the five stars. And then
I realised it was a bit. I just...
Yeah, I liked it. I like it.
It's not a bit. Like, I want you to... There's no point if you don't
get... Accusations!
Proof.
As Bradley has done here, you can screenshot your five stars on Spotify.
He gave us a five-star rating.
Indeed.
There you go, Bradley. You're part of this now.
And then just email me a review, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com.
There's an update, and it's...
There's like a minute left.
Jesus.
Still 2-1.
Still 2-1.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, right.
The path for the boys is clearer, isn't it?
Was it Germany, South Korea, that last World Cup?
Yeah.
And that was that chaos elimination in the first round.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Right. Bradley writes, "Hello, gentlemen. Long-time listener and even longer viewer since around 2016. And I'm sure much like Sidgwick... I haven't come down from all the incredible excitement around the Elite from this past weekend." He literally sent this yesterday, Sidge. "A few days ago, I started rewatching all of the old episodes of Being the Elite. And in fun fact, in episode 41, near the end, you can spot the amazingly talented blank." So what culture employee? Who's he name checked?
41.
There?
That is Oily. It would have been WCPW. Miller.
No.
Phil Chambers.
Phil Chambers is correct. You can spot the amazingly talented Phil Chambers filming from the apron, making him possibly the only What Culture team member to appear in the show. Happily rated 5 stars. Keep up the good work. I appreciate all that you guys do. Next time you're in Texas, the drinks are on me.
Ah, oh, thanks, Bradley.
And for the 5-star review, and if with it being Thanksgiving, let's go back to 2016 on Impact with this segment featuring mostly talent who better off in AEW now, giving thanks. The thumbnail says it all. It is a thumbnail of Maria Kanellis Bennett with stuff on her face, let's say. Take us back in time, Hamflet, and tell us what on earth's going on here.
Maria is a top heel in the knockouts division and has surrounded herself with a heel unit, basically a stable. Chelsea Green, then working as Laurel Van Ness, is her sidekick. Ali is her member of staff who she bullies and abuses. And in the meantime, obviously, Mike Bennett is her husband. He's just around for the party. He just quite enjoys this life that his wife has gifted him on in TNA. And they've also got Braxton Sutter, who would, of course, go on to be Dynamite's The Blade, in his first, like, major television role. And Maria is kind of, because she's friends with Laurel Van Ness, is forcing Laurel Van Ness and Braxton Sutter together. But for the months in the run-up, you can see there's some unrequited love happening between Sutter and the put-upon Ali. And
so Ali wants Sutter.
And Sutter wants Ali.
Oh, so it's not unrequited then?
Oh, no, sorry, yeah, not unrequited. Yes, yeah, sorry.
Love being a wanker,
God damn. I got soap balls over here and he's breaking them even more. Yeah.
So that's like, don't we?
It's as I was giving you some lore and some LTS.
Yeah.
This all leads to the wedding, which goes horribly wrong when Ali and Sutter admit their love for each other, and it gives Chelsea Green her big break, effectively, as the hot mess.
Yeah.
She works for months as this deranged bride figure. Not, it's terrible.
The hot mess, Lauren Von Ness.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's terrible. But it's that watchably terrible that Impact, and only Impact, we're able to harness.
I watched this and just thought, Christ.
Yeah.
Why rip off the Fed this much? Just be an alternative. People want an alternative. And then...
Who is for?
That's fast forward instead of rewind. We got one at last.
I did like the little blurb on YouTube for this. Maria and Laurel Van Ness wanted to have a nice Thanksgiving dinner on Impact in the middle
ring.
In the middle of the six-sided ring, they had their dates and the food was prepared by Ali. What could go wrong?
Just these angles where they forget they're in a wrestling show, don't they? Like, is there supposed to be a match at the end of this? What? Do it again.
So it starts with Ali getting some chants here. Mike Kanellis is trying to speak, though, and he says, "I'm giving thanks, so please shut your mouths. First of all, I'm thankful for food." He just picks up a bread cob, just in case you're unaware what food is. I'm thankful for the great Tom Brady. Boo, he's from a sports team I don't like. And of course, I'm thankful for the first lady of professional wrestling, my wife, Maria Kanellis Bennett. And then he turns to her and goes, was that good? Such a little bitch. And he, and Maria's like, yeah, well.
I like Paul Heyman booking in 2019.
She says, Laurel, Maria does, what are you thankful for? Laura says,
Christ.
I am thankful, of course, for you, Maria. And
she's not Tiffany Stratton.
We miss her. I don't get to do the voice anymore.
Where's she gone?
And for my oh-so-handsome date, Braxton. And, of course, for Daddy's Black Amex. And Ali goes, ooh. Ooh, Miss Maria. Can I say what I should do, Dimes? Oh, Miss Maria, fancy day.
With your lovely spread here on Thanksgiving.
Can I say what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for all the fans in the Impact Zone. A huge baby. And Maria goes, Allie, no one cares what you're thankful for.
Maria D'Angelo.
Now serve us this meal. And Allie's just chucking out on their plates.
Oh, God.
And Laurel goes, so Braxton, what do you want to do later? I have a few ideas, actually. You know what they used to call me in college? Laurel Van Yes. What was that? What was she alluding to?
I think that the character of Laurel Van Ness was written by a man. And let's just say that the food wasn't the only thing that got spread.
Speaking
it's
of which,
it's always it's who booked this at the time, 2016.
Richard, maybe.
Surely not.
Oh, yeah. My mane just got blown.
Speaking of which,
what a fat arsehole he is. What a fat, disgusting arsehole Bruce Pritchard is.
I got some.
Looked at the wrestle with your fat ass.
Got some.
Big shout out to Conrad, loving the charts, love sharing those top 10 spots with you. For your empire. Listen to you, actually, whenever I'm severing my ball sack.
Guess which football team just had a...
Teachable moment!
Argentina, because they just lost 2-1 to Saudi Arabia.
Jesus!
Oh my God.
Full time. One of the greatest upsets in world football, that?
Oh, you got to see, yeah.
I love the fact it's a 50-50 Raw and World Cup review.
For me, Wilborn, yeah. It's one of the big upsets, yeah.
I mean, what's Lionel Messi got to be thinking right now?
He's finished. Pessy's finished. Not only did he score a penalty, but his team's chances are finished now.
They scored 3 other goals, and they all got disqualified by VAR.
They're all yards offside.
Yeah.
Yards.
Oh, dear. Right, anyway, back to this. Ali says, you know what? I've had enough of this. You, Laurel, are nothing but a big old meanie. And actually got a good reaction as well.
This is the bunny, we should say, for anybody that has...
Yeah, it's a bunny.
Yeah, she says, I slaved over this dinner. There's nothing vegan I can even eat here.
It's my cousin Vinny.
My cousin Bunny.
So Laurel gets up there. She's not happy. She chucks, I think, some like mashed potatoes at Ali. So Ali grabs a pie, goes for Laurel, but Laurel ducks, boom, cream pies Maria. It's another week that's happened. That's 2 weeks in a row. It's a pie made of cream. That's the phrase, isn't it? Well, actually, it looks like a pie made out of milk or something.
What is this, milk pie?
But Maria sells it like she's got hit in the face with an acid. She just freezes and goes, yeah, like that.
She looks terrible.
Lipstick is very red. The milk is very white. She looks like the Fiend.
Ali does... what can only be described as a shocked NXT kick-out face. Like that. And Maria wipes the white stuff off Maria's face and tastes it. I'm just explaining what happened here.
Yeah, that's what happened.
He sort of sticks his tongue out like, you want to taste? And Maria just slaps him. And it's so, the close of this video is so weird. Josh Matthews like, couldn't happen to a nicer person. And Maria stands, she's like, frozen on the spot, but then she starts doing like you know, like Brian's yes point. Mm. Imagine if you're pointing it just at yourself, and for some reason you're doing the sort of Bruce Grobbelaar penalty knees, because she's sort of going,
like, look at me. This is over, isn't it? I'm committing to the bit. Look what I've just done. Like, what are you doing with this for? You're meant to be hating it.
And that's the
end. I get the joke. It's the first joke ever written, I think.
It happens. And there's a minute of just, right now, just stay there and go, what am I like?
We'll get a load of bloody this, huh?
Have we definitely got the shot?
Yeah. Absolutely. And that is the thumbnail, yeah, of course.
How did wrestling survive?
So we go to
the fucking elite Hamlet. That's how it survived.
Oh, like this was late 2016, so TNA was run on the fumes of the broken Harder universe.
This is true. Well, the Elite brought everything, made everything better.
Yeah.
So we go to the comments section.
Oh, the comments with Bucks of Youth, wasn't it? With that big ladder match.
Yeah.
Big payoff.
Once again, these do not reflect of myself, the Daddy Boys, anyone at What Culture Wrestling.
Jesus Christ. Last time
Ring of Honor was decent.
Yeah.
That includes
Predator. There's a shoot, yeah.
So the first comment here is the only non-sexual comment in the entire comments that I could find. And it's just a random, you know, it's almost just like, I'm going to rant about this, even though it's not what this video is about. Do you want to guess the one thing that is not sexual in the comments that he mentions here? No. It's mentioned in the, it's been alluded to earlier in the video. It's not just completely off topic.
Non-sexual. People on the internet really like to point out things that are incredibly obvious, right, and think they're clever for it. Smoke face emoji. Might not know, but that's the blade.
That's a good guess. No, Stephen writes, Tom effing Brady should be thankful the NFL didn't order the Patsies to forfeit the championship and bar him playing for life. Not the place of the time, really, this, to have an argument.
Don't know what any of this means.
Pause the video on the Brady line and complain about NFL stuff, yeah. Is that something to do with, like, some football? Tampering with the ball?
Deflate gate is what it was.
Deflate gate.
They, just like your balls, they got something taken out of them, and they didn't work so well after that, so, you know. Okay, moving on.
I don't like this narrative that having a vasectomy makes you heal. Like, it's my biggest babyface move yet.
Myself, you got no cack.
Myself, yeah.
That is my understanding.
That is the science behind it, actually. They lopped it off. Threw it in the trash.
All I know is that you get a procedure, and it means that you cannot have kids anymore, so you don't have no cack.
Can't argue with medical science.
So I found Keith Lee's other YouTube account, apparently.
Burner.
It's called Francis Castiglione. And he writes, all one needs to do is look at some of the comments on this video. Who knows what dirty thoughts they have of their own relatives during family gatherings?
Like, Jemblin YouTube porn wankers. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Like, describing their, like, what they want to be the microphone or whatever, but doing it in the Jemblin Keith Lee style.
Yeah.
Just the grossest subculture of a subculture.
I've got a new favourite thing, right? And it's people commenting.
Marie's.
No. New second favourite thing, right? And it's...
One wishes I could be the Eiffel Tower.
It's people...
One wishes I could be the Mrs. Tiny Ball.
Let me be your croissant.
Or they would be bounced upon.
It's people commenting, like, trying to be like, like that. And then that sort of dying a little bit. And then going, I should write a different version of the comment and see if that pops. It's like, you know, like you do a tweet and you go like, oh, tweet didn't really bang. I'll just delete it and do it again. Except you can't delete the tweet.
Yeah.
So David Hall writes... Mike apologised to Maria for wetting her face prematurely. No one likes it or comments on it. First of all, it wasn't Mike that did it, but, you know. David Hall goes, all right, okay, well, that didn't work. Maria never looked better. Mike finally gave her face a happy ending. Still gets no likes. Another good one. You know what I said? The other one, it's like, they've done the Laurel Van Yes thing, which thankfully you explained.
Yeah.
But Davis thinks he can write it better.
All right, okay.
That would have been better if she'd been called Oral Van Yes.
I love that. Oh, yeah. I think the point made was adequate enough on the program. Like,
keeps going. Maybe Oral Van Sex. Maybe Oral Sex. And that's where they land on. Yeah. The two of them land on. High five at the end. We did it. We did it.
About oral cans sex.
Putting the commas in as well.
Yeah.
That's all of it then, isn't it? That's boobs and a blowy. We've done it.
Grungy Perry writes, oh, Ali is so adorable. And Maria looks good with white stuff on her face. I mean, what do you expect from this? I think that's exactly what...
I think that's what the objective of the old...
Bradley knew what he was suggesting.
The old television segment on a pro wrestling show functioned to do... God, I wish that was my cum. That's basically basically what they want people to think.
I want to be a milk pie. I want to be reincarnated as a milk pie, please.
Also, Ali is adorable.
It's the creepier, isn't it?
It's awful, isn't it?
You think... Paul writes, I'd love to take Maria to barbecues.
What? That's so wholesome.
Yeah.
By the standards of the YouTube pervert.
Les balances out, writes, Mike Bennett, you are one lucky dude. Hold on to Maria because she's superb from top to bottom.
God, she's had a calf.
Reviewing her over 90 minutes. She was absolutely superb.
Checked every pore of skin.
Couldn't fault the lads today.
Every fibre.
And the last one.
Top to bottom. I love that, like, strand of hair. Oh, yeah, that eyebrow. Like, just top to bottom. All the way down. Fine. Hang on, she got a nice arse as well. Oh, yeah, top to bottom, no complaints.
Well, class.
Five star.
Right, final comment here comes from the great LKHS. And, well, you've got all the obvious stuff, like I say, with the...
Is this the last comment?
The last comment. She's got all the stuff on her face.
Yeah.
And then in comes the great LKHS and just goes... Oh. I really like those brown strappy stiletto sandals that Laurel Van Ness wore, and Maria's studded high heel boots were great too.
Hey, maybe just like shoes. Yeah, you know?
So that's like we can take the piss out of them. We can't kink shame, can we? Is that right?
What's the rules?
That's also painfully dull when you don't know what the rules are.
Yeah. He's still jacking it, isn't he?
So we're mocking
the people that are jacking it fundamentally.
Yeah.
But then you get caught in the...
Yeah.
He's still got a...
Ultimately, specific kinks... probably fine. Right.
Just don't punch them into a YouTube comment section of a wrestling video.
He attached an audio file with this comment as well, actually, so we can find out what he was... up to. Okay, there we go. Fair enough.
I think that if... I think the deal is, in terms of the old etiquette of this, is that when women are trying to wrestle, don't like jerk off over them on the screen. That's probably the, you know, when they're trying... Yeah, yeah. No matter what it is about them that drives you... To
search at YouTube, wrestling, Thanksgiving dinner, unzip.
Whatever it is that drives you to get aroused at this sort of thing, whether it's the shoes, whether it's the tits, the ass,
the milk pie,
the mouth, the comms substitution, realize that, you know, they're trying to wrestle. They're not trying to, you know.
Superb, top to bottom.
Yeah.
So thanks to Bradley Rating for that. If you want to suggest something short, crap, and wrestling rated for us to review instead of something on Monday Night Raw,
it's all degrading. But you know, there's ways around it. You don't have to say this out loud.
You don't. It's odd. You don't. That could be wrong about this. It doesn't strike me that in the bunch of wrestling match like footage on YouTube, there's women passing these comments on men's bodies. It doesn't seem like it works out the way around, does it? You don't get much of that.
Pretty degrading, isn't it?
Yeah.
JBL and Baron Corbin are backstage playing poker. And in comes McIntyre. JBL slags him off. McIntyre challenges Corbin to a match. Corbin's like, oh, let's have it out right now, sort of thing. McIntyre looked at JBL and says, I respect my elders, but not you. Punched him. Said, I'll see you out there. Basically. And then we got the match. Drew McIntyre versus Baron Corbin. A WrestleMania rematch. I quite enjoyed these two beating the crap out of each other. Corbin hit a superplex off a middle rope for two. McIntyre comes back with a spinebuster. Corbin hits a choke slam. McIntyre hits a future shock DDT, but then Corbin ducks a claymore kick and sort of does Ryback's old finisher. It was like it was sort of a Samoan drop, but I don't really know what was going on there. McIntyre's going to claymore kick Corbin, but JBL distracts him by walking near the ring, and Corbin uses the distraction to hit a deep six for a near fall. As Corbin argues with the two count for the move that always gets a two count, to be honest, there is Akira Tozawa. What are you doing here? Well, he's not a ninja anymore, at least. And he jumps off the announce desk into JBL's arms. He's got blonde hair now. He's got his sort of Dragon Gate esque gear more than being a ninja from Backlash 2020. And he steals JBL's hat, runs off, and distraction allows McIntyre to recover. Corbin turns around, claymore, 1, 2, 3.
18 minutes for this.
Yeah.
18 minutes for a stupid comedy finish. That doesn't really put Drew over ahead of War Games.
No.
Didn't advance his push, his character, did nothing for his aura. If anything, it detracted from it because this match was so long and boring until some decent bombs at the end and the crowd got into it. Triple H, you lazy, lazy bastard doing this on a go-home show. It is so transparent that you've got no ideas, you've got no creative spark or verve anymore, and you are a verve, and you are just doing this to fill time. And I was so resentful of it. I was so unbelievably resentful of this. I was getting gradually, progressively, more and more fucking annoyed when I saw how long this was going, and then the finish. All of that for a stupid comedy finish. And I'm not being funny, right? Just because he's wearing trunks doesn't make this good. Do not get that mistaken. Like, Jesus Christ, he's still doing wacky, like, terrible comedy and a bit sneaky, and the overtones of all of this were absolutely rotten.
Spot for spot with what Dink and Max Mini would do to Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
Too. Like, that's a literal comparison there. That's not me being flippant.
Yeah.
That's actually what they would do. Hey, he's running, we can't catch him because he's little.
And he's just like a grown man.
Yeah.
He's just a grown man. That's what he is. It's terrible. And guess what? Everyone, the conspiracy theorists about, oh, bloody hell, is Vince back? Because the last 4 weeks, Jesus Christ, it's really feeling less like Pepe H and more like Vince is back. Worry not. Saviour's still here because Triple H has been booking Japanese babyfaces to steal hats for about 3 years. This is a hit. I hate it when it's, oh, bloody hell. Be shame if Vince is actually back following the conclusion of the investigation. It's really liking the really great content that Triple H had provided. This is a man who wore blackface and told he to suck his cock for 20 years. He's not... what's the name of a really clever comedian? He's not like Stuart Lee, is he?
No,
he's not Stuart Lee. He's still going to do this asinine, pretty regressive
crap.
Yeah,
the difference between Triple H and Stuart Lee is like Triple H is the same thing for 20 minutes, but it's absolutely boring instead of really inspired. Yeah, doesn't get better.
Yeah.
Asshole. Yeah, I hated this. I hated... I thought the match was really boring. Awful formula WWE stuff between two wrestlers. I just never want to see work together again. Drew McIntyre is so fucking overrated. It sickens me the amount of praise this man gets. I don't mean it like this is not some sort of single issue agenda. Like, he's just a guy. He really is just a guy, and I don't understand why he's elevated. But like, and this is the thing, right? He's elevated above a Baron Corbin. You will read on the internet today, if you read Raw reviews or you listen to other podcasts, I don't know why you would, but you will hear people being like, what's Drew doing with Baron Corbin? Bloody hell, he's in War Games this Sunday. He's absolutely no better. I think Corbin's probably better, actually. I think he's got more charisma about him. I think there's more like long-standing potential. And the segment in the back where we're supposed to receive JBL as if it's frigging Bret Hart coming to Raw. I respect my elders. I won't lay a hand on you, but I'll lay a boot on Baron Corbin. It's JBL. Lay whatever the frig you want on him. Akira Tozawa will. JBL sucks and all. There's so much in this like period of Monday Night Raw.
He's got the World Cup to watch at 1 o'clock. We're going to have the nice lunch and you're ruining his bloody lunch.
Well, this ruined my breakfast, so you know.
Balls got ruined by a scalpel's knife.
I would say it's low-hanging fruit, but right now there's so much bruising and swelling down there.
I don't think there actually is anything down there. So, that's my understanding.
Hey, I got tiny balls. Tiny balls.
Kathy Kelly's interviewing AJ Styles in the OC. Styles says it's a shame for what's become of what him and Finn Balor used to have.
Triple H's WWE.
He says the OC is his family now, though. Balor's going to get the beating deserves, and it's going to be phenomenal. Balor comes in and says, I'm not the bad guy. No, you think I'm a bad guy? I'm worse. I'm the devil. Ooh, I like that. It's a nice little original thing.
Good that.
When you dance with the devil.
What thinking with that?
you never dance again. You know, devil gets his due. You know, that sort of thing. The greatest thing the devil ever did was, you know, convince.
Yeah, he was a demon first, so it's okay for him to be a devil.
Good point.
I'm Jeff Nichter's gimmick. You see more.
It's got the same energy as NXT was premiered on the network on Wednesday nights first, actually.
Remember that?
I remember that, wankers. Just go away. Stop being in my life.
Big brawl.
Even your digital avatar. Get away.
Big brawl. Carl Anderson chucks Dominic onto a car, which was fun. Yeah. Like this.
I like the attempt. They didn't get the energy, but the attempt at doing a Nitro-esque. A bit of different look, Carl. A bit of flavour.
Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss are in the ring, and they're still sort of teasing. Alexa Bliss doesn't look that excited about War Games. So there's a nice little.
She's just phoning it in because she has been for quite some time for me.
Is that what you think it is?
It's not like to trigger a heel turn. It's just she's bored.
I think it's a bit of column A, column B. Did you see that promo when she first came back backstage?
Oh God, yeah.
And she's just like, meh.
Yeah. Who knows? Digital exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what's coming next for me.
I don't really care.
Your guess is as good as mine. You ever been here?
Is it your first date?
I did like the fact that the crowd were like, yeah, here it comes. And Belair's like, yeah, War Games, we need an extra person. And you'll find out who it is on SmackDown. And everyone's like, oh, bollocks.
They weren't happy, were they?
Outcome, Damage Control, Nikki Cross. Is she bloody bonkers, she is. You're not even concentrating on what's going on. And Rhea Ripley and Bayley and Asuka go back and forth, and Ripley says it's going to be a repeat of our match at WrestleMania, and I thought, I hope not. Let's have it out right now. And then it was main event time, Rhea Ripley versus Asuka, and it was an enjoyable match.
Yeah, it was good last.
And beat the crap out of each other quite early on. Ripley slammed Asuka just face first into the mat at one point. Asuka just hip attacked her, and Ripley was like, "Are you going to get a second outside the ring to just recover from that?" Actually, Asuka gets drop kicked off the top to the outside. She comes back in though, kicks, back fist, code breaker, German suplex. That gets a two count. Ripley puts that standing cloverleaf on Asuka, but Asuka manages just to get out of it. Ripley goes up top. Asuka pulls her down and hits a sliding knee strike to get a two count. She comes back with a headbutt and a Northern Lights suplex, does Ripley. Goes for the riptide. Asuka counters it, goes for a submission, gets out of it. And out comes the teams, and that distracts everyone. Ripley gets put in an armbar by Asuka, but she counters that into a cover. And they go back and forth until Ripley just suddenly snatches Asuka out of the air. Riptide, 1, 2, 3. The heel team get the advantage for War Games, as they should. The other match is going to be on SmackDown, by the way. And then there's a big brawl that kicks off. Out comes Mia Yim, who's now called...
Mi-Chen. Chaos.
It's Chaos. She's been involved in that brawl with the OC and Judgment Day earlier. She comes in. Asuka comes off the top, wipes everyone out, and there's your go-home for War Games.
So basically, Mia Yim has got a name that she probably could have had. That was in the... sort of the shortlist for a retribution name.
Yeah.
That's a good career advancement. This match was really quite good.
Yeah.
Not blew away great, and nothing that is overly memorable. But ultimately, they got War Games the right way around, for this one at least. And there was just certain nice counters in here. I thought it was worked with a nice brisk energy, physical. Like the presence that Rhea Ripley commanded throughout, I thought was impressive. I just got really into this without it being fantastic. Very little else to say. The brawl at the end was dog. It just was not good at all for me. And I just think that the level of emotional investment in this program is just very, very low.
Felt like it missed a time cue as well, because the brawl happened and then it was, well, we're going to have to recap the entire Survivor Series card.
Yeah.
Hardly at Excalibur pace. And then it was back to, I think, a replay of the brawl again. Mm. And the show was still going on. It was like that Moxley week. You remember the Moxley week? I was like, how much show? 5 minutes of this? What? Ah, thing. Run it back. There's a lot, like, which is rare, I think, on a Raw especially. My prominent thought was about Rhea Ripley. The match was good and not great. But
better than the Mania match.
Yeah, leaps and bounds. Rhea Ripley has radiated quite special star aura before, and it was back in 2019. This, like, he's taken a bit of a kick in this podcast. It was obviously under Triple H's direction in 2019. Feels like we're back there again. He has unearthed her star quality again when it was destroyed by WWE and Vince McMahon. Absolutely destroyed, dead. So it's quite impressive that she's getting this spotlight, because she is a level. She's the WrestleMania opponent for Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
We're there now. It'll take a bit of time to get there. She is the opponent for her. That's the match.
Well, let us know your thoughts on Monday Night Raw on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We'll be back later on today with a preview of NXT. Oh, it still feels weird just saying it like that. Preview of NXT. And of course, if you haven't done so already, make sure you leave a 5-star review, just like Bradley did, suggesting something short, crap, and wrestling related on either Apple Podcasts or by screenshotting the Spotify review, or rating, and emailing it to me, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com. But for now, this has been the Raw Review. My thanks to the Dally Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.